legs and white stockings flashed against the night. She reached the crest of the arch. The rain thickened, a gust of wind blowing it like mist across the bridge. When it cleared, a shadow detached itself from the dark arms of scaffolding and moved toward her. The woman started, but did not flee. The person, man or woman, I could not tell which, bent to her, speaking rapidly. The lady appeared to listen. Then she stepped back. "No," she said clearly, "I cannot." The shadow leaned forward, hands moving in persuasive gestures. She backed away, shaking her head. Suddenly she cried out, turned, started to run. The assailant lunged at her, and I heard the ring of a knife. I ran forward. The assailant, male, looked up, saw me coming. I was a large man, and I carried a walking stick, within which was concealed a stout sword. Perhaps he knew who I was. Perhaps he'd seen me, and my famous temper at work. In any event, he flung the woman from him and fled. She landed hard on the stones and boards, too near the edge. I snatched at the assailant, but his knife flashed in the rain, catching me across my palm. I grunted. He scuttled away into the darkness, disappearing in a wash of rain. I let him go. I balanced myself on the slippery boards and made my way to her. To my left, empty air rose from the roiling Thames, mist and hot rain and foul odours. One misstep and I would plunge down into the waiting, noisome river. The woman lay face down, her body half over the edge. Her cloak tangled her so that she could not roll to safety, and her hands worked fruitlessly to pull herself to the firm stones. I leaned down, seized her about her waist, and hauled her back to the middle of the bridge. She cringed from me, her hands strong, as she pushed me away. "Carefully," I said. "He is gone. You're safe." Her hood had fallen back. The jewels I'd glimpsed were diamonds, a fine tiara of them. They sparkled against her dark hair, which lay in snarls over her cloak. "Who was he?" I asked, in a gentle voice. She looked about wildly, as though unsure of who I meant. "I do not know. A beggar, I think." One with a sharp knife. My hand stung, and my glove was ruined. I helped her to her feet. She clung to me a moment, her fright still too close. Gradually, as the rain quieted into a soft summer shower, she returned to herself again. Her hands uncurled from my coat, and her panicked grip relaxed. "Thank you," she said. "Thank you for helping me." I said something polite, as though I'd merely opened a door for her at a soiree. I led her off the bridge and out of the darkness, back to the solid reality of the Strand. I kept a sharp eye out for her assailant, but I saw no one. He had fled. Our adventure had not gone without attention. By the time we reached the Strand, a small crowd had gathered to peer curiously at us. A group of ladies in tawdry finery looked the woman over. "What she go out there, then?" one remarked to the crowd in general.
"Try to throw herself over," another answered.
"Belly full, I'd wager."
The second nodded.
"Most like."
The woman appeared not to hear them, but she moved closer to me, her hand tightening on my sleeve. A spindly man in faded black fell in beside us as we moved on. He grinned, showing crooked teeth, and bathing me with coffee-scented breath.
"Excellent work, Captain. How brave you are."
I knew him. The man's name was Billings, and he was a journalist, one of those damned insolent breed who dressed badly and followed the rich and prominent, hoping for a breath of scandal. Billings hung about the theatres at Drury Lane and Covent Garden, waiting for members of the Haute Temps to do something indiscreet. I toyed with the idea of beating him off, but knew that such an action would only replay itself in the paragraphs of whatever scurrilous story he chose to write. The curious thing was, the lady seemed to recognize him. She pressed her face into my sleeve, not in a gesture of fear, but betraying a wish to hide. His grin grew broader. He saluted me and sauntered off, no doubt to pen an entirely false version of events for the Morning Herald. I led the lady along the Strand toward Southampton Street. She was still shaking and shocked, and needed to get indoors. "I want to take you home," I said. "You must tell me where that is." She shook her head vehemently.
"No."
Her voice was little more than a scratch.
"Not home. Not there."
"Where, then?" But she would not give me an alternate direction. No matter